Okay, well, welcome everyone once again to our Friday night Christian Biblical Church of God's online fellowship meeting. We call it GoToMeeting 1 or GTM 1, but everybody's welcome to come. We enjoy the company of all the scattered brethren, many of the scattered brethren around the world in various places, so it's certainly an international meeting tonight, and we really enjoy entering the Sabbath this way. And if the Sabbath's already begun for you, it's a good time for you to kick back and listen to a good message. We always have a message on Friday night. And tonight what we're going to do is we're going to hear from our minister in Cleveland, Ohio, Eduardo Elizondo. And he's going to tell us what his title is tonight. I'd like to introduce Eduardo Elizondo.
Thank you very much, Steve. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. I meant to say Happy Sabbath first, to make sure that the microphone and the recording happens. But, yes, the title of my message, is called Walking with God. That's the message for tonight. We're going to study this topic about walking with God. And we know it's a very vast subject. I mean, it's really our entire lives are supposed to be walking with God constantly. But if we think a little bit about what it means to walk with God, that's what we're going to read some scriptures about tonight and study the subject and really understanding that this is something that God is God's desire. It's God's purpose. That's why he created us. That's why he made us. And I know that recently we've heard Fred also talk about why we keep the Sabbath as a memorial of creation, as a memorial of when God created man, and then the very next thing that he created was the holy time and the Sabbath day. And that's exactly the very first thing that he did. He fellowshiped with Adam and Eve. And we're going to see some people that have walked with God, and we're going to really get into what does this mean, or how do we do it? We know that we're supposed to be walking with God, but what does that look like in our life? And that's what we're gonna be studying tonight. So let's turn to Genesis 5 to begin. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22, because this is the very first time that it is mentioned in the Bible about somebody walking with God. And it's, of course, Enoch in verse 22, Genesis 5. It says, "And Enoch walked with God 300 years after he begot Methuselah." And this was basically it. This is inserted, you know, in the, when he's talking about the genealogies and how long everybody lived since Adam up until here. But it says that about Enoch in verse 21. It says Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And then he walked with God 300 years after he begat Methuselah, and he begat sons and daughters. And then it says all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24, he repeats it again, and it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and then he was not, for God took him." And that's obviously a whole other subject as to what happened to him, where he went, and all of that. We're not going to get into any of that. But we do know that Enoch walked with God, because he says it categorically. So this is the very first time that is mentioned. In Genesis 6, let's go to the next chapter. Genesis 6 in verse 9. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man and perfect in his generations, for Noah walked with God. So there's two things that are very interesting here. First is that Noah also walked with God, just like Enoch did, but he was also a righteous man and perfect in his generations. So it tells us, for Noah walked with God. It tells us that that's the reason why he was a righteous man and perfect in his generations, because he walked with God. And that is very important to keep in mind, because as we study the other scriptures and dig into this subject of walking with God and what it means and how we do it, we can keep this in mind. Walking with God is the reason why Noah was a righteous man and perfect in his generations. Let's go to Genesis 17. Genesis chapter 17. And we're going to read about Abraham. Obviously, we're following a little bit of history here, and we could not talk about people who walk with God and not talk about Abraham. And verse 1, we'll begin with verse 1, and it says, "When Abram," back before his name was changed, "and when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. And this is a command. Walk before me and be perfect. And this is very interesting what he gave him. The very first thing here when he, and this is not the very first time he appeared. He had already appeared to him. But when he appeared to him again here when he was already 99 years old, right before, you know, begetting Isaac, then God appears to him again. He says, I am the Almighty God. He presents himself again. He says, walk before me and be perfect. And then it says, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram. So this is where he changes his name. But your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And he hadn't made him yet, right? I mean, he already had Ishmael, but not even that old. But he speaks as though it was already done. And he says, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your seed after you. This is a key phrase right here, what he's saying, to be God to you and to your seed after you. But this is after he told him, he ordained him, walk before me and be perfect. And then he says, and I will give the land to you in which you are a sojourner, and to your seed after you, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And this is where he's including all of us. He's including all of us. We know that the children of the promise are the children of Abraham, and in fact, even physically, probably the majority of the people, I would venture to say, in this on this Bible study tonight, are probably in countries that are the physical descendants of Abraham as well. Let's go now to Matthew 5:48 as we continue to explore this theme of walking with God and what it means. Matthew 5:48, and we know this scripture probably by memory, but this is yet another commandment, and Jesus said this, therefore you shall be perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. And it's very interesting that what this commandment says, because that's exactly what he told Abraham, right? Walk before me and be perfect. Now, how do we become perfect? How do we become perfect? And part of it is walk before me and be perfect. We cannot be perfect apart from God. But if we back up here in Matthew 5 to verse 44. And this is, if we want practical ways as to how do we become perfect and therefore are walking with God, these are some of the practical things that we need to be doing. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, so that you yourselves may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not tax collectors practice the same thing? And if you salute your brethren only, verse 47, what have you done that is extraordinary? Do not the tax collectors practice the same thing? And it's very interesting, these few verses that we just read, because it says, therefore you shall be perfect. He's telling us this is what perfection looks like. This is what perfection looks like. And with what we read, right, in Genesis 17:1, it says, walk before me and be perfect. He wants, because the purpose of walking with God, or the reason why he wants us to walk with him, is so that we can be perfect, because he has to change us. This is totally against our human nature. Totally against our human nature. He's telling us, love your enemies. That's not natural to any of us. To bless those who curse us. Our reaction, everything within us moves against that, in rage, in anger, right? Especially now with the situations that are going on around the world, right? But God wants us to, he wants to fashion us. He wants to change us and have his nature. That's why we are to walk with God. because that's the only way that he's going to change our nature and turn us into this, and turn us into a people that love our enemies, that we bless when we're cursed, that our nature is changed little by little. He's working as a master workman, right? And on his children, he's developing us to be like him. We're not like him, but we're looking more and more like him. But this is exactly what it means. This is pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. And now that's increasing. But just to meditate a little bit of what does this mean of walking with God and being perfect. And how exactly can we go about doing that? How can we change this? It's not by our own power, and we know that. We know it's only through the Holy Spirit and through God living in us. And what does that look like day to day? What are the things that we need to do? How do we apply it? How do we live this? Because as we know, this is a way of life. This is a way of being. This is a way of becoming like God. Let's go to Psalm 119. Because in the Psalm, the longest Psalm in the Bible, there's a lot of things in there that are really, God is teaching us through that Psalm. What does it look like? How do we do this? How do we walk in the way? And what does that mean to walk with God? And in the very first verse, it tells us, Psalm 119, blessed are the undefiled in the way, or perfect. Some other versions say perfect, who walk in the law of the Lord, walking with God. Because these things are completely interconnected. We cannot be perfect, and we cannot be overcome, and we cannot overcome sin and be changed and be perfected apart from God. That's why it says who walk in the law of the Lord, because he is his law. He is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there are other verses that say that the law of God is the truth. And basically, they're all synonyms. We can find verses where we put it, we overlay the word, and it's exactly the same meaning. That's why he says, the blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. If we walk in his law, that's how we will be walking with God. It says, blessed are they who keep his testimonies, and here's the key, and who seek him with the whole heart. We are to seek God with our whole heart. That's why the first and greatest commandment is loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and being, and strength. And in fact, at baptism, that's the covenant that we're making, to love him that way, and to seek him that way, with the whole heart. And this implies so much. When we seek God with the whole heart, it means our heart doesn't go to anything else other than God. And if it does, at times, because of our nature, because of, you know, how we, you know, our past or whatever, really it is coming back to him. Coming back to him in repentance. Always coming back to him as soon as possible. The more time that we can be really in God's presence, and we know we are, that he never leaves us nor forsakes us, but sometimes we could just kind of walk our own way without really noticing that we're deviating it a little bit. But, and then that deviation becomes bigger and bigger and bigger the longer that we take to repent, the longer that we take to acknowledge our transgression, the longer that we take to come back and pray again, or to study, to do those things. And it's not just about studying and praying, and we have to do it. That's what it means. It means walking with him, that the things that we do, the way that we talk, the how we treat people, how we do everything that we do, that's what it means, walking with him. It implies action. It implies basically seeking him with the whole heart. And the other thing that seeking him with the whole heart means is there cannot be any ulterior motives. There cannot be any reasons other than he is God and he is good and we love him. Other than loving him unconditionally, we have to love him unconditionally. That's the only way that we can seek him with the whole heart. We cannot come to God with our conditions. We cannot come to God with our just our petitions and our conditions to love him. If you bless me, then I'll love you. If you do this for me, you know, if you heal me, or if you do this, that's exactly what God is saying, that we have to seek him with the whole heart. The whole heart. There shouldn't be any secrets. There shouldn't be anything hidden. He wants, and good or bad, and we know that he knows it, but sometimes it's really hard. When we're praying, it's really hard to really confess our sins to God. But we have to. He says to confess our sins to him, to come with the whole heart. My whole heart is here. I know there's deceitfulness. I know there's human nature. I know there's a lot of things that are still wrong and that you're still working on it. But I know that you love me, and I know that you're changing me, that you're working with him, with me. I know that you called me. I know that you want me to be in your kingdom even more than I want to be. And that's already saying a lot. But if we do those things, if we come to God and say, this is who I am. This is everything. You have to cleanse everything about me. Every area of my life. This is my whole heart right here before you. And we're going to see it a little bit later that those are some of the prayers of David. But that's what it means to seek him with the whole heart, to come and confess, but also rejoice and also give him the credit for the good things. We do a lot of good things also. It's not just about our sins or our darkest things that we don't share with absolutely anybody, or nobody ever has known about these things. We have to confess them, but it's also about all the successes, all about the good things that we've been able to do, all the things, because everything comes from him. Everything comes from him. But if we come with the whole heart, then our whole heart is his, because then we can take another perspective and see, we are his creation. We are his whole creation, and he's fashioning our hearts and he's fashioning our lives after his son. And that's exactly why we are. This is the way that we walk with God, is to first seek him with our whole heart. It just begins by us coming to him and pouring our hearts before him and asking for forgiveness and thank him for the blessings and rejoicing with him and crying with him and, like, really in prayer, just understanding that we are his, because he made us not only physically, but he bought us spiritually also with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. We're his. We're slaves to him. We're indebted to him, and we wouldn't want it any other way. And this is what it says about if we seek him with the whole heart, it says they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Why? Because the moment we come to him with our whole heart and repent, there's no iniquity. God forgives us. Because he knows that in our heart, even though it's deceitful above all things, he can know it and he can change it. And he's promised to do that. That's why he says they walk in his ways. They walk with God. He says, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. And this is really why David was a man after God's own heart. This is what he was thinking. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Oh, that I didn't have this nature that would pull me away from them. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. Why? Because we already put it before him. Because we have put our entire heart before God, and it's his. And it's his 24/7. It's his in everything. And he takes it all. He takes the good and the bad, because he bought us. He didn't say, well, Eduardo, I bought the good parts and I liked you because of all these things, but this other stuff, I want nothing to do with it. It's like, no, he does abhor the sin, but he loves the person. He loves the sinner. And I think this is very important for us to really, really comprehend. And when we read these verses to understand, it's like, God really loves us. He loves all of us, like everything about us. He abhors the sin, but he loves us and he wants to work on that heart. But if we don't bring it all, he's not gonna touch those other parts, because he's never going to interfere with our free will. But that's what he wants. It says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I have learned your righteous judgments, when I really have learned who you are and your ways. Verse 8, I will keep your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Verse 9 here, it says, with what shall a young man cleanse his way? And we're talking about walking with God, right? In his way. By taking heed according to your word. And who is the word? Jesus Christ is the word. Taking heed according to Jesus Christ, to what he told us to do. To love our enemies. To bless those who curse us. To pray for those who despitefully use us. Verse 10, this is exactly why. This gets to the heart of the matter. With all my heart, I have sought you. David declared it. And we have to declare it also, brethren. We have to. We have to come to God and say, this is my heart. This is all of it. And with all my heart, I have sought you. There's nothing more that I want in this life. Nothing more. I want you, Father. I want to walk with you. I want to know you. I want you to change me. I want you to dwell in me and change my life. Literally change my life. And it says, that's what it says. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Let me not go astray. If we're walking with God, we're not going to go astray to another way. It says, your word I have laid up in my heart. And this is practical advice, how we do it. We have to lay up his word in our heart so that we might not sin against him. He says, so that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. That's another thing. We have to ask him to teach us actively every day, that he would fight the battles for us, because he wants to do that. He loves to do that for his people. Those are the things that we need to be doing, to come with the whole heart, to take heed according to his word, to lay up his word in our heart, and to ask him to teach us, because we can know them and we can even memorize the commandments. But to understand the depth of them, it takes a long, long time as he teaches us little by little, because he is with us. Both Jesus Christ and the Father are with us, and they said that they want to dwell in us if we ask them to. And this is David asking him. This is what he says. And he says, I will meditate. It says, blessed are you, O teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. And we also then, after all of this stuff, they will come to us. With my lips we will declare the judgments of his mouth. We will speak of his righteous judgments. So we will declare all these things because they're in our heart and they're overflowing. They're abundant. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches, because, brethren, if we have God dwelling in us, God the Father and Jesus Christ as their promise is and as their desire and their will are, there's nothing that can be better than that. Nothing. It brings peace, it brings fulfillment, it brings joy, it brings all the fruits of the Spirit, because they are Spirit and they are life and they live in us. And his word is Spirit, the words that he spoke, Jesus Christ, they are Spirit and they are life. And if they're dwelling in us, if we have laid his word in our heart, then that's exactly where we're going to rejoice, as much as in all riches. But we have to do what it says in verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts. I will meditate, and we will learn them, and we will really meditate. Meditate is really like digesting, right? Sometimes it's like studying is like eating. We hear something, we read something, and that's good, but then we have to digest it. Then he has to sit with us, and we have to ponder these things and understand, what does this mean? And ask God in prayer. Please teach me. Show me what you want me to learn. Show me how does this connect. And then he starts opening our eyes even more and more to the depths of his word and the connections and the work that he's doing in our lives. And he can pull us back a little bit and say, hey, come here for a minute. Come see from my perspective for a little bit of what I'm doing in you, creating you, my son, the image of my son in you. And starting to do those things more often. Maybe not all of them. Maybe not all at the same time. And we're not to get discouraged. But when we meditate on his precepts and meditate on what they really mean, the intention behind why he said the things that he said, why he said it the way that he said it, then, verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Because it's the best thing that anybody could ever have. Let's go to verse 35. Verse 35 here in Psalm 119. This is what David asked. And brethren, let's do this. Let's all take this as our to-do, to pray the same way, to pray these same things. Verse 35, make me to walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in them. The entire Psalm 119 is really instructions as to how to walk with God. And we don't have the time, or it would be really long, but verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Why? Because our whole heart is his. That's our full-time job, is to keep his statutes in everything. Because if we keep his statutes, as he shows us in everything, then the fruits will come naturally. The results will be there. The love for the neighbor, the love for others, the respecting our jobs, being diligent in them, taking care of our responsibilities. But we'll be in love all the time with our God for what he's doing, for what he's doing in our lives. If we do this more and more, the more and more we'll fall in love with him. It says, give me understanding, verse 34, that I may keep your law and observe it with all my heart. And we could read literally like the entire psalm. We're not going to do that. But just wanted to point out a few verses that talk about this. Make me to walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in them. I love them. I love treating my neighbor well. I love treating my wife, my children well. I love when I give. I love when I forgive. I love when I build. I love when I encourage. I love your ways, because that's the nature that God has. And if we do that, it's amazing. It can really change our lives. It's really that's what it means to walk with God. Verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness, because our human nature goes there automatically. Automatically. Verse 37, turn away my eyes from seeing vanity. So David was not immune to this, to seeing vanity. We know the account with Bathsheba. We know he saw vanity, because man is vanity, and he lusted after her. And we know what he did. But he asked God, turn my eyes away from seeing vanity, the pleasures of this world. Give me life in your way. Give me life the way that you live. The way that you live your life. I want to live the life like you live it. I want to have your same nature. Verse 38, fulfill your word to your servant. Because if he fulfills his word, he's going to transform us. We're going to be in his kingdom. We're going to be in the first resurrection. Fulfill your word to your servant so that you may be feared. Because the closer we get to God, the more that we're walking with him, the more that we will fear him. That's guaranteed. And the more that we know him, the more that we will love him. And the more that we will serve him. And it will become a cycle that will continue our growth forever. I don't know if there's an end, even when we become spiritual beings. Because it even says of Jesus Christ, by what he suffered, he learned obedience. He was already God, and he was God in the flesh. But I don't know if there's ever an end. And we don't want it to be an end. Because God is so majestic, and he's so full of righteousness and of perfection. He will continue. We can continue unto eternity. Let's go to Proverbs. And that's super exciting. Super exciting. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. And we're going to begin in verse 25. Because this is a warning. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. But if we're walking with God, we're walking in his ways, as we read. We're walking in his ways. If we do, as it says in Psalm 119. Verse 2, here in the same chapter in Proverbs 16. Because this is another danger. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. This is a little bit more. The first one, it says, it seems right to a man, and the end is death. It's very factual. It may look like a good way to us, but the end is death. But in verse 2, it says, all the ways of man are cleaning his own eyes. Because why? Because we never really mean, or maybe not never, maybe never too strong of a statement. But we usually don't mean to make mistakes, to hurt others, to intentionally do these things. Right? But all the ways of man are cleaning his own eyes. That's why we all as human beings tend to proclaim our own righteousness. It says, but the Lord weighs the spirits, because God knows the heart, and the heart is deceitful. We can be deceived, thinking that we're doing the right thing, but we're not. But God will bring it, if we're walking with God, he will bring it to light. He will not leave us in darkness. He is the God of light. He knows exactly who we are and what we are and what we need. So he will bring it to us. If we're walking with him, we will walk in his ways. And if we start to deviate and we still think that our ways are, you know, are clean, God will reveal. It's like, that was not right. He will, through the Holy Spirit, will convict us. Not in the way that Satan tries to put stumbling blocks in front of us. It's not like, you're a terrible sinner, right? We lie. You're a liar. God doesn't do that. He's through His Holy Spirit, He doesn't tell us that. He says, hey, Eduardo, you lie. That's different than accusing you and condemning you as a person. But He says, he weighs the spirits. He knows whether we did something in ignorance, because sometimes we do, whether we did with something with the intention, and we have to repent of our intentions, or sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's definitely unintentional. But God weighs the spirits, and He knows our heart. And when we come to Him to ask for forgiveness, we can also bring that. We should also bring that to Him. And I'm sorry, right? I'm sorry. I did not know. And repent from our ignorance. Repent from our deceitfulness that is within us. Repent of our nature. That's how we walk with God. That we are with Him, and He has all of our heart. So that our ways are not clean in our own eyes. But we bring Him before the Lord so that He can show us whether we sinned, whether we did something wrong, even thinking that it was not wrong or that we're okay. He can bring it to pass, and He does it with such a loving heart and with such a thoughtful manner, because He knows us. He knows that we're fragile. He doesn't want to break us. He knows we have a limit, and He knows we are but flesh. And that's the most amazing thing, that we have a high priest in heaven, Jesus Christ, and we have a God who are very compassionate. They're very, very compassionate, and they understand, especially Jesus Christ understands what it is to be in the flesh and to be deceived from time to time in our hearts. He never walked in that way, and I'm not saying that He was ever deceived. He was without sin, but He was tempted in everything, just like we are. So He knows what it is to be in the flesh. Verse 17 here in Proverbs 16. It says, the way of the upright is to turn away from evil, which is exactly what Jesus did. He always would turn away from evil. He never let it come to sin. Temptation is one thing. The sin is another. The way of the upright is to turn away from evil. He who keeps His way preserves his soul. And He's our example. He's not only our high priest, but He's our example. And that is what we have to do, because the way that Jesus Christ was able to do that is He was always connected to the Father, always, always praying, and full of the Holy Spirit at all times. So He had an incredible power, limitless power in that sense, spirit to overcome spiritually, to overcome sin while in the flesh. That's why He did it. And in the measure that we love God and that we give our whole heart to Him and that we love Him with all our heart, He's going to give us more understanding and more of His Holy Spirit. And the more that we have of His Holy Spirit, the more that we can overcome and the more that we can actually see our faults and repent. That's one of the reasons why David repented the way that he did after Bathsheba, because he knew more of who God was, and he knew how short he had fallen from the standard, and he knew who he was walking. That's why he said in Psalm 51, against you, you only have I sinned. He knew he had killed Uriah. He knew he had killed Bathsheba's husband and what he had done, but he knew that he was walking with God and that he had sinned against Him. But when we're going to walk with God, we have to do these things. Let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 also has a lot of instructions as to how to walk with God. So we're just going to look a few verses in here as to how to work with God, how to walk with God. Psalm 37 and verse 3. These are instructions for us. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cherish faithfulness. Verse 4 is absolutely key. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Let's keep our place here in Psalm 37, because we want to connect this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give us the desires of our heart. And we see where it starts in Isaiah. If we go to Isaiah 58 for a minute, and we'll come back to Psalm 37. As we continue to explore more verses as to what does it mean to walk with God. Isaiah 58, verse 13, begins with the Sabbath. If you turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your own desires, because we have come to God and say, my life is yours and this time is yours. From doing your own desires on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight. The holy of the Lord, because we delight in His word, right? Because we meditate in His precepts and we love them. And it's so marvelous what we're reading here. And that's what it says, on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight. The holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, honoring God, because we're walking with God. The Sabbath is not an end unto itself. It's a means to an end. It's a means to walk with God. It's a time for fellowship. It's nothing more than time. And that's precisely what God wants with us, time to walk with us. And He says, and it shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, not pursuing your own desires. So there's some guidelines in here, general guidelines. Whatever your desires are, don't do them. Do God's desires. Not speaking your own words. So speaking God's words. Right? That's what He wants. And then there's the consequence and the promise. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. If we do that, right? All of verse 13. If we do all of verse 13, then we will delight ourselves in the Lord. And he says, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the inheritance of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. But again, if we come to God with a whole heart, we're not looking just to ride on the high places of the earth. We're not looking to be fed with the inheritance of Jacob, our father. That's not it. Or we're not coming with our whole heart. We're coming with our half heart that wants those things. No, we have to come with our whole heart and say, Lord, I love you. I love your Sabbath day. I love this time. I love you. I love learning from you. I love your word. I love fellowshipping with the brethren. I love encouraging one another. That's what I love. Then all these things are consequences, but it will pale in comparison to the joy that He will give us, brother. It will pale. It's like nothing. It's like nothing. Because what we're promised is the mind of Christ Himself, which is amazing. If we can just picture that for a moment. His love, His compassion, His strength, His wisdom, everything that He is, He wants to be that in us and give us that, His very nature. Psalm 37, again, here where we were. Delight yourself in the Lord and He shall give you the desires of your heart. You know why? Because the desire of our heart will be Him. Will be Him. Our desire is Him. Our desire will be to dwell with Him, to be with Him, all the time with God the Father and with Jesus Christ, to walk with them and for them to dwell in us all the time. And that's why He will give us the desires of our heart. Verse 5, commit your way unto the Lord. You guide me, right? That's what David prayed in Psalm 119. Teach me your ways. Teach me your statutes. Commit your way unto the Lord. And we have to ask Him in prayer. And that's one way that we walk with God. If we ask Him, please guide me. Show me. Show me where you want me to go. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. Once we've done that, let's trust. And sometimes it may not look like it's happening or like He's doing that. Many times because of our own stubbornness and because we're not necessarily listening as best as we could. But He will. Trust in Him. He has a process and He knows exactly what He's doing with us. Both of them, God the Father and Jesus Christ, know exactly what they're doing with us. He says, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. What? The change. The change, the transformation into a spiritual being with the very own nature of God. That's why we are to trust in Him. Trust in the process. Let's go to Psalm 73. And it's interesting that Most of these details as to how to walk with God are in the Psalms, because they do truly reveal the heart of the matter. And I find it interesting that it's like really in the center of the Bibles where the Psalms are, because that's really the heart of the matter. This really gets to the depths of the instruction. Psalm 73 in verse 23. And this is Asaph writing this psalm, but he says, verse 23, nevertheless, I am always with you. He's basically acknowledging that he had been, you know, he had been foolish and ignorant. Verse 22, he was like a beast. But he says, nevertheless, I am always with you. You have held me by my right hand. He knows. And we know, brethren, we know that we're walking with God. And we can feel that. We know that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. We know that he's holding us by the right hand. And he says in verse 24, because it's a promise, you shall guide me with your counsel. And afterward, receive me to glory. That's exactly what his plan is. And then for us to think this way, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire none upon earth. I want nothing more. Do we really desire God like this, brethren? I'm sure not all the time, but I'm sure there's sometimes where we do. And that's what we have to do, to desire him like this all the time. All the time. To say, besides you, I want nothing else. I know if I have you, I have everything. I have everything. And this is what it says. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the rock of my heart and my portion forever. And my portion is my inheritance. When I'm looking to inherit, is him. When I'm looking to inherit, is God himself, because he is the rock of my heart and he's my portion forever. Because that's the ultimate purpose. God wants to be all, in all of us. He wants to dwell fully in us. Verse 26, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the rock of my heart and my portion forever. Verse 27, for lo, those who are far from you shall perish, those who don't walk with God. You have destroyed all who go a-whoring from you. All who, like, walk with you for a while, and then they go after their own desires and after their own ways. Being deceived, right? Not even knowing. Thinking that it's a clean way, right? Like we read in Proverbs 16. But it says in me, verse 28, it is good for me to draw near to God. It's another key in how we walk with God. We have to draw near to him in prayer. And not only in prayer, in our actions. In him dwelling in us, in studying. It says, I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may declare all your works, because he is our only refuge. He is our only hope. Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And we're going to read verse 13. Apologies, I went to the wrong psalm. Psalm 103. See another aspect of what does this mean to walk with God? Because this reveals his nature. Verse 13, Psalm 103. This is the nature that God wants us to have. As a father has compassion upon his children, this is how he treats us. So the Lord has compassion upon those who fear him. And this is very important, to understand that nature, to understand that he is our father, truly our father, and he has compassion as we have compassion upon our children. And he has compassion upon those who fear him. And he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Let's go to Psalm 85. Psalm 85 and verse 9. It says, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, so that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. These are the things that God wants. This is what it means to walk with God. If we have mercy and truth. It says, truth shall spring out of the earth. It says, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. And righteousness is his law, and his law is the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. So it's all together. But that righteousness, his commandments, his laws, his way of being, and all his commandments include all those commandments in the New Testament that he said, love your enemies. That's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It is also the end result of a changed mind and a changed character. But it's a commandment to love our neighbor, to pray for those who hate us, for those who use us. That's a commandment also. And all of that is righteousness. And that's what goes before him. And that's what he said. He told Abraham, walk before me. Walk before me and be perfect. So that righteousness, his law, his word, that's what leads us. That's what sets us in the way of his steps. That's how we walk with God. Let's go now to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. As we continue to study and to dig in, these are the details. These are more of the fine details of what it means to walk with God. And this is a short psalm, but this is an instruction of David. So let's take this as an instruction for us, brethren, as to how to come to God. How to come to God. And he says, and this is a prayer when he was in the cave, it says here. It says, I cried to the Lord with my voice. With my voice I did make my supplication unto the Lord. I poured out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. And this is what we are to do. To cry to the Lord with our voice and make our supplication, pouring out our complaints. Declare our trouble. Because sometimes it's just a struggle that we have. We can't seem to get past our sins and the same thing again, right? In our habits and our nature, because especially the older we get, the more experiences that we've had and the more some things are set in our mind or in our way of being and habits that we've developed that maybe God wants to change. But sometimes we have to bring that struggle before him and say, this is my trouble. I can't stop being like this, or I can't stop reacting like this. And sometimes it's our nature, our personality, you know, what we saw, you know, family history, whatever it may be. But this is what we are to do. He says, I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. Being completely honest with God, with all our heart. He says, when my spirit fainted within me, then you knew my path. You knew where I was going. It says, in the way in which I walk, they have secretly laid a snare for me. And we can think about that. Satan lays snares for us. Traps along the way. Whether it be people, circumstances, you know, or sometimes it seems like a hurricane, like the perfect storm, right? We're bombarded from every side. And they lay snares for us. Satan is always ready to lay snare for us. And sometimes God allows him to, and sometimes he doesn't. But that's what he wants to do. But he says, when my spirit fainted within me, then you knew my path, because we bring it before him. We bring it before him. And it says, look to the right and see. No one is concerned for me, but we know that God is. That's why he's crying to God. I have no way to flee. No man cares for my life. Sometimes we may feel like that. We may feel like that, but God cares. God always cares. That's why this is what we are to do. That's why he says, I cry to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Sometimes we're going to be in the bottom of despair. But this is what it is to walk with God, to declare these things. Hear my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall gather around me, a prophecy, for you shall deal bountifully with me, right in the sea of glass. That's a prophecy of that. Next psalm over, 143, verse 1. This is what we are to tell God in prayer also. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear unto my supplications. In your faithfulness and your righteousness, answer me. And pleading with God, and do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. And that's the very first thing that we have to recognize when we come to God and pour our heart before him, to acknowledge our transgressions. To know how nothing we are without him. Verse 7. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. And he will. He will cause us to hear his loving kindness in the morning. For I do trust in you. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto you. And this is what we are to do, to lift up our souls unto him and to come with our whole heart to throw ourselves into his arms, into the arms of the Father, into the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we are to do. It says, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee to you to hide me. There's no other refuge for us apart from God. And to ask him this, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground of uprightness. This is what it means to walk with God. O Lord, for your name's sake, quicken me or give me life, right? Give me life, because without him, we don't have life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul. Key phrase here, for I am your servant. We have to come to him with our whole heart. But we also have to come to him as a servant, as a slave, that has none of his own will, but only seeking the will of God. Next Psalm over, Psalm 144. Blessed is the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. This is what it feels like to walk with God. He's there. He's living. His life is more real than anything physical. And David felt it. Who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield. And he in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. And again, for him, he had people under him. But for us, it's prophetic. We may have people under us. But we know that we'll be ready to reign with compassion, with love, and to be kind and to be good like God is good. Because he's training us, not only for war and for battle, but to be loving, to be merciful like he is. Oh Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Verse 3. Or the son of man that you think of him. Man is like a breath. His days are like a shadow that passes away. But God and his life in us will never pass away. We may go asleep for a period of time, but he will give us life. That's his promise. That is his promise. Let's go to Psalm 145, the next one. Because this really expresses walking with God. It says, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you because I'm yours, because I want to walk with you, because I belong to you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Let's just take a moment and see how close he was with God. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Because he's full of the power of God, of his spirit. I will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty and of your wondrous works. All his commandments, all his laws, all his ways, his way of being completely separate and different than this life. And men shall speak of the might of your awesome works, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. And brethren, we will all sing of his righteousness on the sea of glass. We will sing the song of the Lamb. That's what he says. It's a promise. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This is what we're going to get to if we walk with God. To see that he's abounding in steadfast love. That he's slow to anger. And you know what, brethren? So will we. That he's full of compassion, and so will we. Not immediately, little by little, we're a work in progress. And we have to be patient with ourselves because he's patient with us. But that's exactly what we will become. The Lord is good to all. See how much David knew him. He's good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And this is the end of it all. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. That's all of us, brethren. He's talking about all of us right here. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men, to everybody else, his mighty acts. Look how he transformed these people. Unrecognizable. They're loving now. You remember this person? Look how good they are. Look how merciful. Look how loving. Look how strong. Look how wise. That's the transformation that God is doing. If we walk with him, that's why he wants us to walk with him. It says, they shall speak, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. And here's a little bit more of his character, because this psalm really tells it all. It says, the Lord upholds, verse 14, upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. So he wants to do this. This is his nature. We just have to come to him when we're bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon you, and we do. It says, and you give them their food in due season. And Psalm 37 also says that the righteous have never been forsaken or his children begging bread. And it says, verse 16, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You are just good. You are a giver by nature. That's the reason why he's not going to forgive blasphemy against his Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the nature of God. That is what he is in his core. And if somebody's saying that he at his core is evil or speaks blasphemy like that, he will not be forgiven. That's the reason. Because God is loving in all his works. He's righteous in all his ways, verse 17, and loving in all his works. Verse 18, the Lord is near unto all who call upon him, unto all who call upon him in truth, not for a benefit, not with strings attached, not for convenience, not because his will is less worse than the alternative. No, with the whole heart, we come with him in truth. It says he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him, because our desire will be him. Our desire will be like him in everything, all the time. And he will fulfill that desire because he wants that more than even what we want it. He wants us to walk with him. He will hear their cry and will save them. It's a promise. He will not fail. And like Fred says, he doesn't fulfill them to the minimum. He fulfills them to the maximum. The Lord watches over all who love him. So he's watching us, brethren, because we all love him. But all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his name forever and ever. That's what it means to walk with God. These are the promises that he has. Let's go to Revelation 21 to conclude. We're going to read really the end of everything. Because this is his work. There's many other scriptures that we could go through in the Psalms that really reveal what it is to walk with God. But I hope we've been able to see a few and instructions on how to do this, how he wants us to come with everything that we are every day to meditate on his works, to understand him, to know him, to really love him more and more every day. Because this is what he has in store for us. He loves us so much, brethren. He loves us more than we can explain, more than words can say. Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from heaven say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, which is what we've been called to now, brethren. We are his people. He is our God now. We don't have to wait until then. The tabernacle of God is with men now, with us, in our hearts, because it's a promise in John 14 that the Father and Jesus Christ will come and dwell in us, make their abode in us, with us. And that's what it says here. We don't have to wait until then, but this is going to be amazing, because this is what he has wanted from the very beginning, from creation itself, the very first thing that he did, time for us with him. And it says that he will be our God, but he is our God now. And this is what he will do. But brethren, let's think from our perspective right now. This is what he does now. It says, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. he does wipe our tears now, doesn't he? And there shall be not be any more death or sorrow or crying. He's going to take all that away. Neither shall there be any more pain. He gives us that comfort, even in the pain, because the former things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, this is Jesus Christ and God the Father. He says, behold, I make all things new. Then he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, Jesus Christ said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the one who thirsts, I will give freely of the fountain of the water of life. Let's look at the promise from the perspective that we can already claim that promise. We can already claim what the promise is in here. To the one who overcomes, the one who overcomes shall inherit all things. And in this part of the promise we already have. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. 1 John 3 says that we already his children. We already his sons and daughters. Not born yet, but in development. Just like a baby in the womb of the mother, it's already the child of those parents. So we already have this promise that he is our God, and we are his children. So let us, with this in mind, brethren, continue our walk with God.